What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If this is your first time, I just want to say thank you and get ready for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast in the DFW area and possibly even America. We talk about all sorts of controversy here in proper podcast form, and that means we tell you exactly what we think. I call that staying toasty. I try to publish as much as I can, and every week I have my co-host come on to give us the facts. Until then, though, you're stuck with me, your host, Sky Day. So, let's get freaking toasty. Anyway, yeah, I was in Wolf Creek, dude, or at Wolf Creek. Pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Wolf Creek, huh? Mm-hmm. It's like a weird, like it's not in by, all the stuff, right?
By Pagosa Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pagosa Springs, dude.
Yeah, hey,
Pagosa Springs, dude. I have a little mug in case you're listening and can't really see it. I recorded while I was there. So like I'm trying to do like a Pagosa Springs ad, you know, like you see those, those come visit Pagosa Springs, yeah. That kind of thing. But I'm not trying to do it that cheesy. I'm trying to do it good. So like people our age will be like, oh, that's cool.
Did you go to any of the hot springs?
Well, the hot springs are right downtown, but I went by them, but it's like $70 to like get in.
Sit in. Yeah.
So stupid. I'm like, bro, there's literally a hot springs across the stream that's free because it's just there. Right, I saw three people in that little thing, little tub thing, but the hot springs that they advertise is like built up. Of course, it's like, you know, brick and nice and whatever.
They
right,
have
you have a beer and there's towels. Right, they have towels. Right, it wasn't that cold. So that's good. Well, okay, I can't say that. It was like 20, which is cold, but it wasn't like for the mountain, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
for the mountain, that's not very cold.
We woke up at 5. It was like 5 degrees. We woke up right. You get to the mountain and it could be 10 or 15. The sun's beating down, dude. It feels good.
Yeah.
You take off your jacket and you're like, wow, okay.
That high altitude, low humidity,
yeah,
cold
dude.
Is so much easier to manage than
bro,
Texas
I'm,
cold.
I'm buying skis. after doing that, I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
I am about to buy skis.
When we went up to Colorado, I was wanting to ski, but it just wasn't in the cards. The mountain had like no snow until like the last day we were there. And I was like, I'm not going to ski my last day. Just want to chill,
right?
So
no, same dude. We do like a break. You know, we'll go for a week and we'll ski for 2 days and then take a break for a day and then we'll go for one last day.
That's the best way to do it,
dude. Bro, it's so nice, dude. It's so cheap at Wolf Creek too.
Yeah,
it's $80
Wolf Creek
a day.
Is way less than Purgatory, in
bro.
Durango.
Purgatory. I've never been.
So
in Durango, wow, really? I've never been to.
So it's about an hour and a half away from Wolf Creek.
Well, so it's the place you have to fly into if you're going to go to Pagosa Springs, right? You fly to Durango, or you can fly to Santa Fe, I guess, New Mexico, and drive up. But like,
yeah, I always drive. I always drive.
Well, you do too. That's why I'm just saying, because Durango is a freaking expensive flight, dude.
Yeah, but there's one flight a day from DFW to Durango. But funny enough,
oh, I didn't know that.
My grandparents' house is literally like maybe 5 minutes from the airport.
What?
Yeah, it's super close to the Durango Airport.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Bro, what are we doing? Do you ski?
Go up anytime. Yeah, I've been skiing since I was like a little kid.
Really?
Yeah.
You're probably way better than me.
I haven't been in a while.
I'm a freaking, like, I'm one of those wild people.
Yeah.
Fly off to the side and wreck. I mean, I'll do that.
You're a Texas skier is what you are.
I guess, yeah. I'm trying to.
That's what they call them.
Okay, hold on. What?
The guys that go just like fast down the hill, that's. The Texas ski.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. That's what my dad does. It's
really, dude. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
Because people that actually ski and actually like want to ski, they want to take their time going down, right? Whereas, like, a Texan is just like,
what?
Hey, yeah, let's go, brother.
Hell yeah, let's go. Okay, hold on a second.
If you ski a lot, like, you're gonna start doing moguls and it's like shifting
yes,
your
dude.
Hips
okay.
and stuff.
Hold on a second. Let me explain what I was saying.
Okay.
I definitely do that, so I am a Texas skier, but also I love hitting the side hits, like the powder and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I was trying to say.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I'm hitting that with rentals, dude, and freaking
it's
wrecking.
Harder. Yeah.
It sucks. And
do
I'm like, I can't
long,
do this.
You know how long your skis were?
They were 150, and I'm 5'7". It wasn't, dude. It wasn't, but they're also super stiff, so it makes sense. Yeah. They don't have any rocker or anything. Uh-huh. I did a lot of research to like get to know skis. You know, first ski buying experience, YouTube shit. Anyway, I realize now I could have a little bit longer if they have rocker. Whatever, dude. Whatever. The point is, rental skis are not made for powder at all, right? It's like No. They're like made for straight groomers that are like. Not even that powdery,
beginner
you know?
Beginner skis is what they are, yeah.
Essentially, yeah. They and I've been skiing. Yes, dude. It's yeah, crazy. Yeah. And I've been skiing.
If you hit powder the wrong way at rental skis. For
dude,
sure.
I broke one last year or 2 years ago. I broke it. I hit a mogul and like went straight in and the ski goes.
Yeah.
It broke it. I was like, what the? You didn't bend over the freaking hill?
The guys in the shop are just like, Texas.
Dude, no. They literally said, I've never seen one of these broken. I'm like. Well, it's a first for me too, buddy. They were like, dude, don't even worry about it. Here's another one. I'm like, what the? It's crazy. I didn't have to pay for it. It's awesome.
Everybody in Colorado is really
cool.
Shout
out to Pagosa Springs. What up? Yeah.
Everybody's really nice.
That was at Wolf Creek. That was like their rental shop at that time. We didn't do that this time. But look, the point is, dude, I'm going to get some skis. They're going to be a little bit wider, and they're also going to be a little bit longer, and they're going to be kind of powder it, all mountain. Essentially, I'm trying to get an all mountain ski, right?
Yeah.
Because like I love and going through the trees is freaking fun. I love it. That's why I didn't board. I didn't do boarding because I want to go through trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I admit you can, but it's way harder on a board. I'm not. No.
If I had the money, I would get two sets of skis. I would get like one short pair.
Of course,
like
you,
a, like
everyone
a set
just says
of
that.
130s that had like the kind of lip on the side.
Yeah. Freaking so blades, bro.
Yeah. You're just like get fucking pitted, do inverted, do helicopter. No, but I would have fun.
I need to learn.
I get like some longer skis, like some 180s or 185s, and it's just
holy crap!
Those are like meant for going like fast. Like,
that's intense, dude. I can't
jumps, bro.
I can't even imagine having that much ski under my feet.
I've skied with like one. I want to say I've skied with 170s.
To give you guys a little bit of background, I'm 5'7", and I guess Matt's like 5'9". What are you?
Yeah, 5'9" and a half, 5'10".
And I weigh like 150, like wet. So.
Yeah, I'm 170 right now.
You are? Well, that makes a little bit more sense. I can't, I don't know, man. The way I am, freaking crap, dude. 180s, dude? Whew. The skis I'm looking at are 166, and they're a little bit wider, and they have a rocker, right?
I have always skied on one, like, since I was the height I am, I've always skied on 165s. That's like a super,
really?
That's a happy medium.
Interesting, yeah. So, well, not rentals, though, right?
No, I've always done rentals.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you like ask for something different?
I'll ask for advanced skis.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Because even when they ask you, they're like, "Are you 1, 2, or 3?" You know, type one, whatever the hell. Yeah. They just change your bindings and like it's the same ski, dude. You would have just given me the exact same ski, just changed my binding a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, damn, dude, give me some like pro fesh, bro. And it'll be like, here's a demo for $50 a freaking day. Oh, okay, I'm good. I did that once in Washington, right? It's so funny, bro. This is I'd only skied 1 year. Learned it, and then 4 years go by, 3 years, and I moved to Washington, and I go skiing, right? It was terrible. Oh. I go skiing, and they're like, oh, yeah, we just got 12 inches of powder last night. I'm like, oh, here we go, dude. And I'm like, I'm with some guys that know what they're doing, and they were like, dude, you need to rent powder skis. I'm like, okay, cool. That means I have to get a demo. I got a demo. I was like, dude, just set me up, bro. You know, just give me some powder skis. It'll be awesome. These things were the flimsiest freaking, not flimsy, I can't say flimsy, because they're supposed to be like that. They were so freaking flexible, and I know they're supposed to be like that, but I had gone from stiff board to this thing that would allow me to do wheelies, you know? And I'm like, dude, whoa, bro. And then we get up to the freaking lift, dude. It's so funny. Oh, we go right or left? Oh, no, we're just going straight. What do you mean we're going straight? It's the backside of the mountain. We're going to the backside of the mountain. I'm like, are you kidding me, bro? This is literally like my second time skiing. And he's like, we're going to the backside, bro. And I'm like, what the? And it literally has a little sign that says ski boundary. And I'm like, we're going past this sign that says ski boundary. He's like, yeah, I know. We're allowed to ski back here. They just won't send any help. I'm like, are you freaking kidding? Yeah, I'm with my freaking pastor who was like, I don't know, 55 or 60 at the time. Maybe he's not that old. If you're listening, Dave, I'm sorry, bro. I don't really know how old you were at the time. But the point is, he's a freaking badass on skis.
Uh-huh.
Of course he is. He's been doing it forever. And his son was with me, too. And his son was just like, doing crazy crap, you know, no poles. I'm like, dude, this guy's a legend, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm falling every freaking, like, 10 seconds because I'm like, what the hell am I doing, bro? Like, trees and just freaking tons of powder. If 12 inches happened on the front side, like, what was the backside like? Holy crap. It was insane.
Yeah, backside's always...
Dude, I was sinking, bro. Super. I was like, I can't do this. So I returned them and got freaking regular rentals for the next half of the day and then went on the groomers. I was like, nah, I can't do this anymore, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to break my legs today.
Bro, I just didn't know what I was doing. Yeah, it was bad, man. It was bad, man. But since then, I've skied several more times on rentals, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get something a little bit better now. Let's do that, you know? So, and those were like 172s or something like that, I think, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were crazy freaking flexible, dude. I was like, that's dude, I need something in between, man. I don't need the board, but I don't need the freaking, like, noodle, you know? Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
It was crazy. Anyway, sorry, that was a long story.
The diatribe.
I got into it, man. I got into it. Got into that ish, bro. So what have you been up to, man?
I mean, just working.
What was the winter?
Taking care of the baby.
Oh yeah, you have a baby.
So
I'm just kidding.
The snowstorm, like, we didn't close like either day, which is really annoying at the dealership.
You didn't?
We were open both days, and like we couldn't. I could, like, half the, like, okay, 90% of the staff was not there. Like, we didn't even have enough for a shadow crew, and we couldn't get parts. Nobody was delivering anything, so I was like, I'm going to finish what I have, which was virtually nothing. It was, like, a car, maybe, and I just finished it and left, and that was Snowmageddon. Luckily, like, the weekend before, I had just gone out to my farm and cut down a bunch of trees for firewood. So
yeah.
We had a bunch of, like, fresh pecan and fresh mesquite, like, the best-smelling fire of all time. That's so nice.
Dude, that's...
I had like...
That sounds awesome.
I had a huge stack of firewood, and we burnt like 80% of it.
Yeah.
So just had a nice cozy fire the whole time and chilled out for a couple days. So...
Ding, bro.
Pretty easy.
So why didn't they close, dude? What'd they say?
So the first day they closed, they ended up closing early. They were like, we're going to close at 4, and then... I left at like noon because I didn't have anything else to do. I was about to get more work. So, and then the next day they were like, "Oh, we're thinking about closing early." But I was like, "I can't get on the roads right now because it's too icy and my whole neighborhood was full of trees, so it was like totally iced. I couldn't go anywhere without hitting another car." So I was like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna chill today," and got a bunch of stuff done. But yeah, I don't know why they were open. Like what they thought they were gonna do. I don't know what customer was gonna be out test driving a new car in an ice storm. That's just silly. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I agree, dude. Yeah. That's ridiculous. So Sewell closed for like 3 days or 2 days or something like that too. They just closed it down. They're like, we're not doing this because no customers are coming in, bro. It's not going to happen. And if they do, they're just like, why are you here, dude? Everyone says if you need to be out, but that's it. You know, it's like, come on, man. But yeah, Colorado, I was just chilling and I heard about all this crap and I was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
But I guess there was panic. So like the stores didn't have anything.
Oh, dude, like all the shelves, it was crazy. I went grocery shopping just to kind of like for fun because I was like, we needed, what do we need? We didn't really like need anything, but also like we need like a gallon of milk. We had like half a gallon at home. So like, I'll pick up a gallon and I'll pick up, if they have any meat, I'll pick up like whatever meat they have, you know, for a meal or two. And they didn't have any meat on the shelves. Like all the lunch meat was gone. Of course, that was the first to go. All the unhealthy meats are the first to
go. Yeah, because I don't want to cook, you know, but here's this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Everything was gone. So I ended up getting like this, they had a pork loin left. So I grabbed one of those and like some, they had plenty of milk and eggs and bacon. So I was like, okay, well they got that. So we're set.
So. Hell yeah, dude. Well, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't really know what was going on, but I was just chilling. Besides that, dude, I wanted to talk about the IQ thing. We don't really have to. I found that study. I found the study that basically it's not peer reviewed, so it's not official or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's, by the way, if I'm ever too loud or anything, I'm trying to get everything like situated on the mics and stuff, dude. It's hard. If I turn that down, that's good. That's good.
There we go. That sounds much better.
That sounds better to you?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, I need to turn. Okay. All right.
So, what about this?
We good? Okay.
You mentioned this IQ story. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, essentially, it's a non peer reviewed study that happened during COVID. You know, I say during COVID. Apparently, we're still in a pandemic. But anyway, Yeah, right. News to me. I got this. So New York Post actually talked about it, but I wanted to find the actual study. So I clicked on some links, of course, did some due diligence there, which is not that hard at all. I don't know why people have so much trouble, you know, reading past an article. All you got to do is look at the freaking link that's on the article that says, here's the study, and you click on it. Sometimes it's not that, like, obvious. Sometimes right. It's vague, but you get to it. So it takes me to this website that says, here's the basis of the study. And, you know, I don't know why you're not as loud, not even close to as loud as me in my headphones.
Huh. It's loud in my headphones.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
And you can hear yourself?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, for the interruption there. I'm just trying to get everything situated on this whole thing, on this desk setup I got going on. Whatever. I found the study, and it was basically, here's the abstract. It says abstract on it. It's a PDF. Since the first reports of novel coronavirus, public health organizations have advocated preventative policies to limit viruses, including stay-at-home orders that close businesses. You guys know the drill. I'm going to skip past all of that. For pregnant individuals, fear of attending prenatal visits also increased maternal stress, anxiety, and depression. Not surprising. There has been concern over how these factors, as well as missed educational opportunities and reduced interaction, stimulation, and creative play with other children, might impact child neurodevelopment. Leveraging a large ongoing longitudinal study of child neurodevelopment, so I guess it was already happening. The study for children neurodevelopment was already being undergone or whatever. They decided to jump on it and be like, okay, we're going to figure this out for COVID. We examined general childhood cognitive scores in 2020 and 2021 versus the preceding decade, 2011 to 2019. Mm-hmm. We find that children born during the pandemic have significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born pre-pandemic. Moreover, we find that males and children in lower socioeconomic families have been most affected. Results highlight that even in the absence of direct SARS-CoV-2 infection and COVID-19 illness, the environmental changes associated COVID-19 pandemic is significantly and negatively affecting infant and child development.
Yeah.
The one point I'll make is that we have been on a decline of IQ for decades already, mm-hmm. as well as male testosterone and things like that.
That's not surprising.
It's already happening. But this is saying basically that it was accelerated, and it makes sense. You know, when a child is born, apparently it's a freaking huge deal. Literally affects their intelligence being around other children.
Right.
And seeing facial expressions.
Yes.
And things like that. That matters so much.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. I read the study and I was like, well, how much does it actually matter? Do kids learn anything when they're young like that, or literally babies and all that crap, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do they know? How does a baby learn? You know, I'm thinking that. I'm thinking, how?
They're like, work, you know? They just observe.
It's literally like a freaking, they always say it. It's like a sponge. They're like a sponge. They are.
Well, you know, when you think of a sponge, you think of like absorption. But really think of it like when you compress a sponge, a dry sponge, and you put it in water, it's not just sucking up water from one place or one direction or one thing. It's soaking up water from everywhere, from all directions. It's learning how to smell, how to eat, how to touch, how to, you know, read facial expressions, how to make facial right. expressions. And it's not just from the parents, it's from the teachers, it's from the other kids, it's from family. So the more adults that are massed around a child, the slower that child is going to adjust to society and learn how to do those basic
things. Yeah. Apparently, yeah, right. And I guess I had a feeling like, even teenagers, I had a feeling like staying at home, not being in the classroom is going to be crazy.
Devastating for teenagers.
Yeah, devastating. Literally traumatic.
Yeah.
And here we are seeing this about infants, so I'm like, well, it only stands to reason that this goes all the way through it.
Yeah, all kids.
Being at home, isolated.
Yeah.
Also, there's a freaking another study that I did not look up, didn't really think about it, honestly, but it was just recently put on, I think Rogan said something about it, but he was talking about how obesity is up like freaking 40% or whatever in kids, just pandemic levels, because they're stuck at home, and they're not doing anything, they're not active, you know, and we're saying these things as if they're like new and novel, if you will, because novel, yeah. But that's just it's just obvious to me. It's like 2 + 2 = 4, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be stuck at home. And what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. And then people aren't really weighing cost benefit analysis at all.
There's no not logic at all. Oh, no, not at all.
It's all,
you know,
really, really basic fear mongering. It's crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy that worked.
Yeah.
Basic fear mongering.
Yeah. Worked. I can't tell you how many people like didn't come to my wedding because they were afraid of COVID.
Yeah.
And then like 6 months to a year later, once they realized that it was never that big of a deal, that they were just like, they either had COVID or like it wasn't a big deal to them anymore. It's crazy. I can't tell you how many people have just like done a 180 on it. And now you've got all the Democratic states, like California and New York, easing up mask restrictions. Like there's no, I think it's starting, I can't remember exactly when it's starting, but in California, there's no more indoor mask mandate for public places at all. And in New York, there's no more mask mandate for public places.
I saw that about New York.
So they are like, they're shying away from the whole, you know, trying to control your life with every aspect of your life just because of COVID and some silly virus.
I guess I'm kind of surprised, first of all.
Well, the thing is, the American people are starting to realize now that everyone has had Omicron, they're like, oh. I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, especially when you hear that like Delta does still exist, but like we all moved on all of a sudden, even though Delta was worse than Omicron.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden everything is Omicron and people are like, wait a second. You know, it's like, man, dude, what are we doing here?
And there was a John Hopkins study that said that natural immunity was like 3 to 3.5 times, it may have been 3 to 5 times more effective than the vaccine. Not only does it keep you from getting COVID, it keeps you from spreading it too. So you get Omicron, you get over it, then you don't have to worry at all. You don't have to worry about getting it, you don't have to worry about spreading it, you don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
It's done.
Well, yeah, I get it, man.
And as someone who's had COVID twice, like confirmed twice, I had the first variant and then I had Omicron. So, I mean, neither one was that bad, honestly.
Yeah.
For me, but
I mean, I guess that squashes the belief that you can't have it twice, but it's just different variants.
Right.
Dude, it's just like the freaking flu, bro.
It was like,
come on, man.
It was like 14 months later.
Yeah.
So I think that's just how long my antibodies lasted because I take immunosuppressants. So it makes sense. You know, they last anywhere from 12 to 24 months, depending on, you know, how each individual and their antibody levels.
Yeah, I used to get tired of hearing people say it's just like the flu. Not saying that I didn't agree with him. I'm just saying, man, we got to stop using that as our argument. Now I'm like, okay, it's the flu. Yeah. Now I'm Omicron, like, wait a second. This is literally what happened.
Yeah, Omicron is a lot like the flu.
It's hilarious, bro. Mild. Have you heard about you've looked at this, I guarantee it, the trucker thing, you know?
Oh yeah, I've got a article right here about some recent developments that happened like today.
Dude, slap me with that ish, bro.
February 10th. This is from the Daily Wire, an article by Tim Meads.
I just want to say, man, you and the Daily Wire, man, you're hilarious.
Oh, I love it. I got my Daily Wire.
You like freaking climax that shit.
Oh, my God. Thursday evening in Ontario, Canada, court effectively froze access to monetary donations to truckers and other Canadians participating in the Freedom Convoy protests in Ottawa, Canada, and elsewhere throughout the through a government order. The Freedom Convoy is a group of more than 50,000 truckers protesting the vaccine mandates and restrictions throughout Canada. They raised more than $8 million through the online crowdsourcing platform GiveSendGo after GoFundMe kicked off the group off its own platform last Friday. Now the money's in limbo. Neither truckers nor donors can gain access to it per the court order.
Did you hear that GoFundMe like tried to basically take that money away?
They tried to give it to some other charities.
Yeah, let's give it
choice.
To our. Yeah, exactly. What if that had happened like when Black Lives Matter was getting GoFundMe money?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Let's be honest here.
Exactly.
You can't.
So this is another breaking article that just came out, like probably right when we were starting the podcast.
Oh, wow.
It says breaking despite...
Dude, same, let's go. Breaking news from the Toasty Podcast.
Same author, Tim Meads from Daily Wire. Despite Ontario court order, GiveSendGo promises donations will flow to Freedom Convoy.
That's like, what I'm talking about, yeah. Dude. Did you hear about the towing companies? Like, just like, nah, we're not going to tow your shit to the state. Yeah, they were just like, the police asked them for tow stuff to basically tow away the trucks, and the tow companies are like,
hey,
nah.
Hey, truckers, it was can in you Alberta. Tow away your other trucker?
Yeah, like, let's be honest here. Brethren. Come on, what's going to happen? They said, no, we're not doing it. Sorry, bye. You don't have access to this.
I'd flip them the bird and be like, see ya. But right? They're probably Canadian, so they're probably like, oh, no, thank you, officer. And the officer was like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, and then Alberta's like, okay, we're not doing any vaccine mandates or vaccine passports or any of that. This is crazy.
Right.
Then I see this freaking, basically companies in America are having to deal with that. Huh. So like, because it's trucks, dude.
Okay, I'm gonna read this article because it's actually kind of interesting. So GiveSendGo is a Christian crowdsourcing company. It's pushing back against Ontario's court order that issued that effectively froze access to monetary donations and truckers in the Freedom Convoy. So GiveSendGo tweeted Thursday evening that Canada has, quote, absolutely zero jurisdiction over how they dispense their funds, and that all donations on GiveSendGo.com, including the Freedom Convoy, will go to their intended charities.
Dude.
Oof.
Give, send, go. Make it happen, dude. That's awesome. It shouldn't even be a freaking conversation we're having right now, but here we are. Here we freaking are, dude.
Yeah. And it's crazy what Justin Trudeau said. He's a prime minister of Canada, and definitely not the illegitimate love child of Fidel Castro. He's not. You know what's crazy, though? This is
whatever, dude.
Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
So apparently, this is what I've heard. Okay, this is what I've heard.
So this is a conspiracy.
This is a.
But it could be legit.
This is, dude, a very plausible. Hit conspiracy.
Me, dude. Hit me.
There is a picture. Look at this picture and just look at it right now.
Okay,
Fidel and Trudeau side by side, and you'll be like,
I feel so much pressure. Fidel and crap. Trudeau.
Yes, just side by side.
I don't know how to spell Fidel, but I think I got it.
F-I-D-E-L.
Oh, good. I spelled it right. Okay, I got a black and white of Justin Trudeau and Fidel Castro. Wow.
Right?
Bro, dude, I'm going to throw this up. Oh, my God. That's same, hilarious, bro.
They're the same person.
I will put this link to this pic on Google in the show notes.
Yeah,
easy,
please
peasy.
Do. Just whip out your phone right now, unless you're driving, and just look up Fidel.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And
whip it out right now.
Yeah.
Your phone.
Yeah, look up Fidel God. And Trudeau, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Gosh,
dude, this one has
totally
a freaking. So one guy cut the face in half and put them together. They're
crazy,
the same.
Right?
One has a beard and one doesn't. But
right,
like they're,
dude, they're so similar looking. And Justin Trudeau's mom was on some like freedom mission.
Yeah,
in
so do you,
Cuba 8.5 months before he was born?
Oh,
so she was in. She was there, man.
Okay, so do you don't have.
I don't. You know.
So that's what we have as far
that's
as
a rumor
of evidences. So we have these pictures.
And they're both like total
socialists.
I
thought you were going to tell me something that was like intense. Like Alex Jones has all this research laid out. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure there's more to
it. I expected
than that,
it, but I've
heard that. Yeah, his mom was.
They look freaking the same.
They look like the same person. So
holy crap, dude.
But anyway, he was saying like about the Freedom Convoy. He was like, we can't allow these people that have inappropriate views, you know? He was like, we have to shut, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but he was like, we have to shut that down.
I don't understand in what world.
He's like these fringe minorities with like inappropriate views.
It doesn't matter what views they have.
Right.
I don't give a crap what views they have, dude.
Like that's the whole point
really
of a democracy
care.
Is that.
Are they in a democracy?
Minorities,
though?
Yeah. Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a parliamentary democracy.
Oh.
Just like Great Britain.
And Israel?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. Interessante,
they call their parliament the Knesset in Israel. So,
wow.
There's that.
like
we have a Congress. They have the Knesset. Canada has a parliament.
Yeah, all their verbiage for everything is weird.
Yeah, government.
You know, loonies and toonies and stuff. I don't know, man. But hey, I saw another news, just a really quick tidbit, not really an article. I don't really want to read about it. I don't really want to get into it, to be honest with you. But since we passed the abortion bill in Texas, 60%. decrease in abortions.
Wow.
Yeah, all That's across awesome. The state, you know? It's pretty That's crazy.
Great. It's great news.
Pretty crazy, brother.
Inflation soars to a four-decade high of 7.5%. Ouch.
Dude.
7.5%, dude. That's like getting close to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Real close.
Yeah, you are.
Even like faster than he did.
Dude, I didn't know Jimmy Carter, speaking of previous presidents, I didn't know that Kennedy shut down Project Northwood or something like that. I was reading about some stuff Kennedy did.
Kennedy?
He was like, Project Northwood was like this made-up war. I don't know what it's called, Northwood. Like, we were going to make war on ourselves in order to go to war.
Oh, it was a false flag operation.
Yeah, false flag operation. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he was like, no, yes. We're not doing that.
Yep.
We've talked about that before, but I just read it. And I was like,
and then,
crap, forgot about that, dude.
LBJ basically okayed a different operation, resulting in the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which brought us into the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I just...
Well, dug us in even further, I should say, because we had troops over there, because we were helping France, because they got in first. But that's a whole other rabbit
hole. Well, the other thing I want to bring up and talk about was I just kind of need some clarifications on our tensions right now, foreign policy stuff. Because I don't know if you've read anything or gotten up to speed on Ukraine, Russia. You know, here the thing is...
Invasion is imminent.
See, I just feel like, you know, you earlier you talked about how they're backpedaling or kind of getting rid of or drowning out or phasing out, I guess, the COVID stuff. New York, California, they're like, okay, fine, We're finally done. Well, I can't help but think they're doing that because now we're pressing the war button. And we know for some time they're kind of building it up over here on the side, on the media side. You know, they got COVID right here, but on the side, you every once in a while you're like, Ukraine. Taiwan, what's up, guys? You know, that kind of thing, where they're just bringing it up every once in a while. Now it's more and more. It's like almost like they're doing this change, this little turn in news.
It's a two-parter for sure. Part of it is Democrats have looked at their internal polling, and they realize how unpopular that mask mandates and lockdowns and stuff like that, COVID policies, basically, let's call them, are, how very drastically unpopular
COVID restrictions,
you're right.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, crap, we need to pivot. Like, we need to do a 180. So they uniformly did a 180, and all these states arbitrarily lift their lockdowns, lift their mask mandates and whatnot. And the media is doing their part in talking about COVID less, downplaying COVID a little bit more, and then covering other stories more and making other people the bad guy. Oh, Putin's the bad guy. Oh, China's the bad guy. It's no longer the virus and Trump are the bad guy. They can kind of shift.
Literally heard the exact words on CNN. I watch CNN and, you know, ABC and all this stuff just because I need to see what the heck they're saying.
Right.
Even though it's usually all stupid.
Right.
Well, one of the ladies, and I don't know all the anchors' names and stuff, so I don't know. Now it's like a talk show now, by the way. Like CNN will come up and it's like not anchors. It's like an anchor and like three dudes or three people around a table. It's weird. It's freaking weird. But this lady was like, you know, was talking about someone on Fox, I think. She's like, why don't we stop talking about the past? We need to start talking about the future. And I'm like, what do you mean, lady? We've been on freaking Trump and COVID for the past like 3 years. I'm just like, dude, and January 6th had literally just gotten brought up. Not even kidding. Not even kidding, guys. Oh, literally had just happened. So I'm like, we just keep bringing this up and keep talking about it. Then she's like, we need to talk about the future more. So to your point, Matt, that's exactly what they're going to do. I think they're just going to try to turn it around and say, we're the good guys, and we're talking about the future.
If you watch closely, you'll notice that NBC and ABC, especially ABC, because they're owned by Disney,
right?
They won't talk shit about China.
That's true.
China has faced allegations of human rights abuses, but that's the most they will say because they're... Viewership in China for Disney movies is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Disney is so... It's like Disney ESPN. NBA, bro. Yeah, yep. Disney, NBA, ESPN. Those are the Nike. Probably those are the big four.
That's the tip of the
big
iceberg.
Four companies. I know there's a lot of other companies, but like the biggest companies I can think of right now, the hugest ones that are
Coca-Cola,
definitely in bed.
For sure.
Coca-Cola. Well, Coca-Cola, though, I mean, they might be, but they're like... It's like a world company. I wouldn't even consider Disney a world company, or Nike for that matter. You don't watch the World Cup and see freaking, hey, everyone loves Nike, wear them. You see Coca-Cola. Everyone freaking drinks Coca-Cola, bro.
That's true.
Everyone. And I can't, so I can't, there's not a way, if you're like Coca-Cola, and I'm not going to tell you they did anything good, but if you're like Coca-Cola, I actually think you really don't have a choice. They're probably in with Russia too, and they're probably in with Brazil, and they're probably in with all these other freaking African countries too. Like, they're probably in with a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
for sure.
It sucks.
It's because it's illegal. It's because simply it's a legal drug.
It's really easy. Oh, it's so easy. So much easier than dealing with freaking child slave labor like Nike.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's not, there might be slave labor involved in Coca-Cola, but plastics. Yeah, I mean, there might be.
Yeah.
Petroleum. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the factory-ness of
I'm thinking about sugar specifically.
How they get sugar.
Right.
Cane farms.
Because in America, we use high fructose corn syrup in our Coca-Cola, but in Mexico, they use cane
pure cane sugar. Yeah. But how hard is it to get pure cane sugar?
Not hard at all.
I don't think, and but I don't know if it'd be.
Are they buying cane sugar that's from Florida?
Slave labor.
Or are they buying cane sugar that's from Haiti? You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point.
So.
That goes into a whole other. So that's not China, right? Or is that that's Haiti?
Oh, China's probably using slaves to.
I know. Okay, that's what I'm making sugar. Sure we're making the distinction here because we talked about China slave labor, well, I guess, is, and then we kind of went. Haiti, of course, matters too, but
I would assume that China is using more Southeast Asia. I don't know where they get their sugar from, but I would assume Southeast Asia or possibly Africa.
Okay, so back to the war thing,
right,
bro? So Ukraine is in there somewhere. Is it just because Russia wants Ukraine and they don't want to?
So Ukraine is historically,
because they seceded a long time ago.
Yeah, when the Soviet Union dissolved, collapsed in 91, right. That's when Ukraine basically became. It went from the Ukraine, which was a state of the USSR, as one of the states in the USSR, to just Ukraine. Because anyone who puts the in front of Ukraine just doesn't know what they're talking about. I'm just going to say that because
it's no longer
the Ukraine. It is just Ukraine, the country.
Pre-Soviet. State. Okay.
But historically, it's been just a battleground. Like, everybody wants it. It's been ruled by the Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, the Russian Empire, the Soviet Empire. Now it's its own country. Now NATO wants to be a part of it, and it wants to be a part of NATO. It wants to be a part of the European Union, and it's. I don't believe it's part of the European Union. It's not part of NATO. So,
yeah, that was the talk. That's what they're talking about. Apparently, is whether or not they should. Be a part of it. I don't know.
It probably should have been one of the first countries in NATO, considering the Baltic states are in NATO. That's Latvia, Lithuania, and
everything surrounding Ukraine, right? Yeah. It's like, why isn't Ukraine there in that?
Well, the thing is, Belarus is not, because Belarus is a very corrupt country. Very corrupt country. It's basically just a puppet state of Russia. And that's like just north, or I believe it's just north of Ukraine.
Okay, well, where does... So, everyone wants Ukraine.
So, yeah, Ukraine but is now, surrounded, basically, by all these different...
Well, I thought we were their allies.
Yeah, we're definitely
and
their
so
allies.
And so, we're just defending country. Them, then, at this point, if we go to war for this?
I don't see U.S. troops in combat roles. I just don't really
Where did Biden... Biden apparently sent, like, thousands of
he
troops.
Sent about 8,000... Oh. He sent about 8,000... 8,500 troops to Europe, and that includes Germany and Poland.
Right, he just sent extra troops over there.
Right.
Okay.
And that was just kind of like a show of force. I don't think it was a very meaningful one.
I don't know what you're going to do, man.
If you want to show a meaningful show of force, do joint military exercises in Ukrainian airspace.
And like...
Just fly this much over Russian airspace.
Like China and Taiwan.
Yeah, and if they shoot you down, then... It's like, all those tanks and anti-aircraft guns and military personnel you have all lined up on the border, they might want to find some trees like real soon.
Now that's the war strategy of it as far as that goes. But like, what about like, can we avoid it? Like, can we just not go to war?
Us.
Like,
that's not up to us. I don't feel like anymore. I feel like there's been enough appeasement by European countries like Germany and. I guess really Germany and the fact that nobody else really wants to stick their neck out for Ukraine. Nobody wants to allow Ukraine to join the EU because of their mediocre economic status. And nobody obviously wants them to join NATO because Russia's really close to invading Ukraine. So, and it has been for a while. They've been, you know, with Crimea in 2014. That was part of Ukraine historically. And then they had this magical election in which 90% voted to join the Russian Federation. And tell me that's not a shame. And
holy
crap,
dude.
By the way, there were tons of Russian troops with Russian flags all at the polling locations. So tell me that was a free and fair election, quote unquote.
Yeah.
BS.
Holy crap, dude.
And Obama just let it just happen. He was like,
right.
Cool. Doesn't bother me.
Man.
Yeah.
I just don't want war, dude. And I know, there's always lies in it, bro. There's always some stupid thing we come up with to make it happen, and then thousands of people die.
Well, what we can easily do is air support with satellite imagery, predator drones, and I would say some light intelligence on the ground. Some light to moderate intelligence on the ground, you know?
Yeah, I think at this point with our technology, there's a way to do it where you're not really all hands on deck.
Right. We're not going to lose any Americans for Ukraine, but we can still assist them in their military conflict.
Tremendous ways.
Yes.
Big ways.
In ways that truly advance American interests. Because that's what's important. That's what we want to do. We don't just want to be the world police and be like, you know, stop being a bully, Russia. It's like, why do we care about Ukraine?
But it seems like politicians want
there's
that.
There's a big reason. Ukraine is a huge area. It's a Western-leaning country, and they believe in more Western values than old Soviet values, for sure.
Right.
And obviously, we need as many westernized, relatively conservative democracies as we can have. And the Ukrainian president was like a Trump ally. Like, they were like, oh yeah, we're partners in this, you know. And I think Trump had one of the best foreign policies of any president in my lifetime. Him and H.W. Bush were pretty much tied for like an A+ foreign policy. For sure.
Just to clarify, H.W. Bush is the first one.
Yes.
So just Daddy, so you guys know out there listening.
Big Daddy 41 Bush.
Big Daddy Bush. Yeah, he's not his son that
had like an
screwed
F,
everything up.
F- foreign policy. Yeah, dude. Screwed everything up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Look, I will say during the Trump era, I was pretty for Trump, and I still kind of am. Mm-hmm. I think that the very end made me kind of sit back and look at things and be like, well, I don't know if I can just be gung-ho for any president, for that matter. I need to chill out and see these people because everyone will make mistakes no matter what.
Of course.
And so you're not going to have a perfect person.
Right.
As far as foreign policy goes, I agree.
Yeah, my biggest thing with Trump and that whole saga is I think he was a fantastic president. Didn't like his personality. I've said that many times on the show.
Oh, dude, yeah, we constantly say that.
Now DeSantis, like he's the other pick. Like if it's not Trump, it's DeSantis. Like nobody else is pulling even close to second or third place. You know what I mean?
Man, I wish Rand Paul would like get out there and do something. Yeah. You know.
But my biggest thing is DeSantis is. I feel like he could attract a lot of moderates and independents, and definitely would be a great general choice. But he's not. I don't feel like he's going to shake anything up. You know what I mean? He's going to stand for conservative values and that sort of thing. But I don't feel like he's going to. I don't feel like he's going to energize people as much. He's definitely not going to energize people as much. So that's different.
I could have done that from the beginning, huh?
Yeah.
You can't hear yourself, but you can hear. Yeah, I can hear.
I can hear myself.
You can?
Yeah, it's just not quite as reverby.
I think that was the problem. Sorry, guys. I'm just messing with stuff as we go, getting this situated. How's that, dude? That's better, nice. Huh?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm an idiot. What was I doing? Okay, let me get this going real quick.
Is it going to be, sound different so to good. The audience?
Hell
or?
Yeah. No, that was, well, that might sound a little bit different to them. This might now, you know? Is this too loud for you? Or you?
No, that's perfect.
Perfect? Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. No, this
all
might
right, guys,
change
welcome to the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky Dave.
Dude, let's go. And I'm Maddie B. We need to do an intro where we're like just freaking back and forth, you know. Anyway, no, I hope it doesn't. If it does change for you guys and you guys can hear it, let me know. But I'll listen to and make sure it shouldn't because all the stuff I was doing was on our end. Look, dude, the point is I wanted to bring up the Ukraine thing, the war thing because you know, honestly, when it comes down to it, I personally don't care about the nuances because deep down...
Most Americans don't.
Well, look, dude, here's the deal. I've been burned, man. I've been burned by the whole war thing, the whole war machine.
Yeah, war is, you know, tough.
2001,
but
man.
But who's to say it has to turn into a war as
I was a bright little kid. Now I'm screwed because, like, of it. Thanks a lot.
The thing is, you know, there's two ways to win. There's two ways to fight a war, right? Like, we've learned in the last, let's just say 30 years, right?
Okay.
There's a Persian Gulf War,
yeah,
which lasted like a couple months. Like, Saddam Hussein invaded, and then we just whooped his ass in like a few weeks, like really bad, like really, really bad. Like, destroyed his whole military in like a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
And just decimated their whole military. And then Saddam ended up burning a bunch of oil fields like a total jerk, and that was a whole other thing. But you could win a decisive victory like that, or you could, you know, draw things out. Like, you know, there's a Persian Gulf War, and then there's the war in Afghanistan that we just, you know, tucked our tails and ducked out of. There's, you know, so it's totally different. Like, and the thing is, you have to set up a clear goal, clear enemy, clear path to victory, and a clear exit strategy. If you don't have all of those lined up before you even get a soldier on a C-130, then it's not going to work out.
So when have we had all those lined up perfectly?
Persian Gulf.
That's it. Perfect. That's the one. That's literally the one. Because I'm just thinking about more recent.
Because
I'm like, man,
World War II was kind of like that. We there's no way to develop an exit. The exit strategy was total victory.
No, because it was a world war.
Right. Well, and the thing is, I mean, even, the next war, even you Japan, think even when we totally melted 80,000 Japanese people in one bomb, Japan still didn't give up. So that's how tough that war was to win. We melted 80,000 people like that, and they still didn't give up. So
yeah, dude,
we had to melt another 40,000 and mutilate generations afterwards to end that conflict. And that's the thing is, yeah, war's horrible, but it's going to happen. There's no way you can avoid it at all.
I don't think.
And if you try and avoid it, you're just going to delay the inevitable, and you're going to make things worse in the long run. If you look at Neville Chamberlain versus Churchill and how they handled things and how they approached things, and if you look at like George H.W. Bush versus his son and how they approached it, it's like you just got to be decisive. You got to go in. You got to be confident. You have to destroy your enemy, and you can't pussyfoot around it. Okay, war is horrible.
Okay.
And innocent people will die 100%.
Here's one. Okay.
But the more you try and delay that, the more you try and just appease evil dictator people like Putin.
The more they grow and they get
the
way
more emboldened
powerful.
They get, and the more resources they will gather. Right.
And the worse the war
more
will
people
be whenever
will die.
It does
exactly.
happen. Now, okay,
Saddam, Gaddafi, all of it.
I get what the point you're making is valid.
The Kim
it's true.
Dynasty.
It's true.
In NOCO.
But right, so let's bring it back around to right now. If like America, I don't think, is even in a place to go to war, even if you think about like where we were, like let's say World War One or two.
But
know,
I'm not saying
it wasn't us that started
well,
it.
Well,
we just got jumped into it.
I'm not
it.
Even saying we declare war on Russia. I'm just saying that we give Ukraine so much military assistance that Russia's like we're not. It's not worth it.
But I think what you said earlier makes sense. Like, yeah, okay, we might be roped in. Basically, what you're saying now, we might be roped in. It may not be us doing it. So we're trying to say.
Yeah,
kind of, because we're allies, we have to be. But we could do what you just said earlier and be like, okay, well, let's just give them air support and all that crap instead of. So that's where I'm trying to get. Yeah, I know war is terrible, but like, man, you know, there's definitely a lighter way to do it now that with technology. That's all I'm trying to say. And I think that right now, America, dude, like, we have our own huge problems, dude. And they're thinking, and my problem with that is they think the war button fixes those problems.
Well, the thing is, let me ask you
this.
It's
like, does having a kid fix a marriage?
Let me ask you this.
No, dude.
No, definitely not. I mean, don't try that.
Yes, exactly.
So think about this. If, let's just say that Russia invades Ukraine, they take it over, and now they've got this whole new territory.
Yeah.
Are they going to keep doing cyber attacks on U.S. soil like the Colonial Pipeline attack? Yeah, and it's going to get worse. So it's going to directly affect us. If we don't stop them, They're just going to get more territory, more power.
But like Trump was doing, it wasn't a war to stop them. It was a sanctions. He's like, guys,
you have to stand up first. And
stand for yourself, you know?
Yeah. But the thing is, we can't sanction. I mean, what would we do? Personally sanction Putin? Okay, so we withhold 1/10 of the wealth that he has. I mean, he's got stacks of gold bigger than the average American house hidden away in Siberia, dude. Yeah. Like, there's you cannot touch that guy's wealth.
Right.
He's probably the richest person on the planet. He probably is richer than Musk.
Yeah, no one knows.
Most likely, because he owns like half of Russia, right? So
yeah, I get it.
Like, we can't touch that guy economically. He does not, like, he's like, oh, you take away 30 rubles. I don't care. I've got 20 gajillion in my back pocket. It doesn't matter. You can't affect my life.
So
his incentive is to do what he's going to do. Do the best interests of his country.
Right.
And have the best legacy. And the best. Okay. So Russian leaders deeply value their legacy and their territorial claim to that legacy, if that makes sense. So like Putin, his legacy right now.
Yeah, they want the credit. They also want to be the legacy. So they want to do it and then also say, we did it.
Yes.
I get it. It's a Russian thing. It's just like a masculine thing almost. Like, it's like a testosterone-y property of them.
Yeah, but even like, I'm trying to think of the, Russian.
Macaroni.
I think it was a Russian queen. I can't remember her name, but she, and it was like a great military conqueror of Russia and ended up taking like a third of what Russia is today over from different other territories. And so I think it's maybe Catherine the Great. I think that's maybe who she was.
Catherine the Great, huh?
I think so. Maybe. Double check me on that.
I'm going.
And anyway, her biggest claim to fame is how much territory she got back for Russia. And of course, like, if you look at Soviet leaders, some of them may not be as revered because of the dissolution and downfall of the Soviet Union. But Putin, to get to the modern era, in the Russian Federation era. So Putin's been president of the Russian Federation since 1999. I think it was 99. So he's been there forever.
He's been trucking, dude.
Yeah. There was like a 4-year term where his second in command took over, and then he changed the constitution to make him basically president for life.
Right.
And he's in his 70s.
How old is he? Okay. So he's in his 70s. Is Biden 70s? What is Biden?
Biden is 79.
Yeah. So how can you imagine being Biden in a room with a guy that's like around your age,
and but you're way more dumber? Mentally confident. Yeah.
I can't say dumber.
Biden is actually stupid.
Okay, well, hold on.
He's always been stupid.
He's always thought he was smarter than he was. I know that.
For sure.
But I don't know. You know, you look at speeches and stuff he gave, you're like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
But I think it actually is an actual age mental problem. It's not necessarily, I agree. You know, that sucks, man.
It's a dumb guy with dementia. It's compounded.
What does Putin think when he's in the room? It's dumb. So it was Catherine the Great. It was Catherine the Second, a.k.a. Catherine the Great, last reigning empress.
Right.
Regnant of Russia. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Longest ruling female leader.
Pretty cool.
Crazy.
So Putin reclaimed part of Georgia, and George W. Bush basically was actually a foreign policy plus. He was like, Putin, if you try and take over the rest of Georgia, I'm a war hawk. Have you met Dick Cheney? Like, he shot a guy in the face. Like, he shot his friend in the face. Like, we will happily go to war with you, bro. And then Putin was like, all right, I won't invade the rest of Georgia. Yeah. And that was actually a win for George W. But so only part of Georgia went to the Russian Federation, went back. And it was actually part of Georgia that was more aligned with Russia. So it was actually kind of like an ethnic resurgence back to Russia. And then, of course, in 2014, he regains Crimea. And that's like a huge economic hub. That's like... That was a big deal.
Right. I know. There's a lot of apparently,
banking industry, tourism. It's a really nice area.
We just let that happen. All right.
Psh. Obama didn't do any. It was like hashtag diplomacy. Like hashtag don't invade Crimea. Oh, no. Twitter. Get the woke Twitter mob after you, Putin.
Yeah. So, dude, speaking of that, dude, I'll bring this around into a little bit of culture. It's interesting to me that's 2014 probably actually. Was when this whole culture revolution began, right?
Yep.
And you know how you don't know when you're in a revolution. Like, it's not like one day you wake up and you're like, okay, today's the revolution. So when people talk about the culture war and everything, I think like, bro, we're already well past that. This has happened, bro. Things have flipped already. and are still going and still flipping. But because the culture somehow bled into everything else, like politics and everything, and now it's bled into like basically, well, the American culture got ruined, and then because there's no standards, and then we go to war because of it. Like it's almost like culture flipped itself on its head in America, and it's going to be a problem for us. Now it'll be a problem for us. I don't see war. You know, normally it unifies people. I'm just wondering if that's going to happen this time if we decide to do something, or if we're roped into something. You know, I'm really wondering because you're looking at the truckers just doing all they're doing is freaking sitting up here having a protest.
So,
and everyone's already polarized about that. People are trying to make actions about it.
I don't know.
What happened when we actually throw bombs, dude?
Yeah, I don't know if war necessarily unifies people. I think you can rally people around. Like
patriotism.
Like 9/11, we obviously got attacked. There was a tremendous amount of patriotism. We needed to go to war at the time. We were attacked. We had to destroy the place where the terrorists. I mean, I agree with why we went into Afghanistan in the first place. Pretty much everybody did and does.
You're talking about like in the 90s. You're talking about like a long time ago.
No, I'm talking about 2001. Okay. In Afghanistan specifically.
Yeah.
Now, going into Iraq in 2003. A lot of people, there's been a lot of books trying to justify that. I just don't
think there was an exit strategy.
There definitely wasn't at all.
If I'm honest. You know, because we're retaliating, I get it. But there wasn't, and now we were there, right? Anyway.
Yeah, so. I'm looking at a map of EU member states and what is EFTA member states?
I don't know, man. Let's look that up. EFTA member states.
Hold on. European Free Trade Association. What is the European Free Trade? I don't even know what that is.
The European Free Trade Association is a regional trade organization and free trade area consisting of four European states: Iceland, Liechtenstein, I don't know how to say that, Norway, and Switzerland. The organization operates in parallel with the European Union, and all four member states participate in the European single market and are part of the Schengen area.
So, yeah, okay, that's weird.
Huh.
Norway and Switzerland are both very unique European countries, I will say. Then again, like Norway, Sweden are both very similar.
You want to talk about like white nationalists?
They are literally white. A nation of white people.
Yeah. Anyway, dude, look, like I said, man, culture is like definitely playing a part in the real deal now. It's not just something you see, you know, 2014, you know, you said, you know, don't invade Crimea was a Twitter freaking hashtag. But now, dude, that same Twitter hashtag has way more weight. And now, like, let's just pretend it happened now. You know, now it'd have way more weight. All these people getting canceled, all these freaking truckers getting ruined, you know, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
That it leads to matters. More. That stuff, Twitter matters in like parts of Europe and America.
No, I'm not saying, look, dude, I'm saying that I believe that social media could definitely cause some freaking real issues now. That's what I'm trying to say.
Domestically, yeah, but not foreign policy wise.
But another point I was trying to make is that we're causing so many problems domestically because of it. Culture is like completely upside down. You don't think that's going to like affect the wars we have?
I think that
at all.
I think that the interest of the politicians are going to be so far removed from the interest of the people.
Okay.
That people are going to be distracted by their cell phones and what's going on the internet. And they already are to that point that they don't even care about what the hell's going on in Europe. And so if it's and that's just getting, I mean, as generations move on, like it's getting more and more like that for sure. And I don't think that the American people are going to have the interest or even like the interest to even find out why it's important to defend a country like Ukraine. Or to help
like
them,
right now, this freaking episode.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Or not to defend them, but to help them defend themselves. Right,
right, that's kind of how it is.
That's
right.
The best way I can put it.
And you have you explained that? Why would we help them? You just explained their history and everything.
I kind of
just
did.
Give me a. If there's a quick sentence, I hate to do this.
Okay. Look.
But a good.
Look, you're eating you're a 6-year-old kid. You're eating your sandwich on the playground, yeah. Right? You're enjoying your sandwich. It's freaking bomb.
Yeah.
Your mom's rich.
Hell yes. Yeah,
your parents are rich. Like, and you got a great life going on. You got new sneakers. You're America, right? You're America.
Consumerism in America.
Little Billy, listen. Little Billy over there is getting his ass whooped by this stupid bully who's not even that tough of a kid. He's just a freaking jerk, okay?
This is your kid, right?
His muscles are not that big, okay? And you could easily whoop this kid's ass. I mean, you get all the best like training and like, well, okay, let's call it a 10-year-old and not a 6-year-old, okay?
Yeah.
you get all the best like football practice and private training, tutoring, and all that. Like, you've got it, man. And taekwondo practice, all that. And poor little Billy is not that strong of a kid.
He's a nice kid,
and he's always been nice to you. And, you know, you're kind of acquaintances with him, and you've been talking with him more. And you're like, man, if the big bully or the stupid bully over there beats up Billy, who's he going to come after next? It's not going to be me, but it could be my friend Frank. It could be my friend Sally.
Damn, Frank and Sally, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be.
I get what you're saying. That. So you need to tell him, hey, man, get the heck out of here, bro.
Yeah, not only that, if they see Billy. Me, a guy that could do something about it, do nothing about it, what are they going to think of me? They're going to be like, wow, that guy just sat there when he could have done something and did nothing. Like,
so
like Germany gave him 5,000 helmets. What we need to do is allow the little guy to be able to stand up to the big guy, okay? When it's in our interest.
I need you to.
And if it's not in our interest,
yeah,
then let the big guy win. Like if it's.
You're saying that, okay, I get the whole, that's freaking perfect. So anyone listening right now, if you didn't hear the rest of the podcast, I hope you heard that part because it's basically the reasons we might help out Ukraine. Now, what you're saying now is if it's in our best interest. Why is Ukraine in our best interest? Tell me why.
Because they're a Western-leaning country in a place that is not surrounded by other Western. They're surrounded by Romania, by Belarus, and by Russia. And then right below them is the Black Sea, and then right below that is Turkey. Turkey's not our best friend right now. We get along with them okay, but they're ruled by an evil dictator.
Right.
A racist, evil, homophobic dictator. Bad guy. Belarus is ruled by basically a puppet state for Russia. Russia's ruled by Putin, who's obviously not a good guy.
So we need an ally over there.
They're a very strategic ally.
They're a strategic placement of allies.
Yes, it's a huge... So Ukraine's also known as the wheat basket of Europe.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%, but I'm sure they have a lot of natural gas, just like Russia does, and oil. They have ports in the Black Sea that are... Well, they used to have Crimea, but they don't anymore, which was basically... It's technically a peninsula, but it's basically an island surrounded by the Black Sea. And it's a highly strategic place. And I'm looking at the capital of Kyiv, and it's northern central Ukraine, closer to Russia. And, it wouldn't surprise me if Belarus was allowing unmarked Russian troops to gather along their border with Ukraine to kind of broaden the scope of attack.
Huh. Yeah, I feel like we're all, we're on the game of risk, right? And like we're at the point where everyone at the table has like a lot of power.
All their countries, yeah.
And we just think anything next that happens, who's going to do it? That's what I feel like is happening because China has just freaking gone ham, and Russia's gone ham. And I say that there's two countries out of the world, but still, they're everyone's just building up, dude. Because we've had such a big, long, crazy peacetime. Somehow, even during the Afghanistan and Iraqi war, somehow that still was able to happen. Because I guess we left all the other countries out of it somehow. Or they decided to stay out of it, and now with this part of the risk where it's like. What do you do?
We were definitely not alone in the Middle East.
I'd assume we weren't. You don't really hear about who else was there.
Like dozens of other countries. That and
very small amount of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. There were like 30 countries that invaded Korea with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't. You know, it's so funny how many people. Oh, we got two troops coming your way. You know,
like
what did they? What I'm not trying to downplay what they did because I don't really know. Right? But holy crap, man! Because you know, of course, leave it to America to give the history of America and say,
right?
Yeah, America did this. America did that.
We fought the Korean War.
Right.
It was just us and Korea. That's
just us and Korea. Yep.
But really, hold
Billy
on.
Billy wasn't
hold
even on. There, dude. Frank wasn't there. Where the hell is Sally? You know what
they
I mean?
Weren't. They weren't there at all. Good grief, there's so many.
I want them to actually peer review that study we talked about, man. That'd be good. Or do something. Give me something like official, bro, on the IQ thing. I just don't really think IQ by itself is even good. So.
Yeah, so, geez, it was... So the belligerents in the Korean War, South Korea, North Korea, obviously. On the North Korean side, they had, obviously, North Korea, China, Soviet Union, and they were supported by Bulgaria. Like I said, not a very good country.
Right.
Czechoslovakia, which is surprising at the time. Well, it was a Russia. It was a Soviet, basically a Soviet puppet state at the time. East Germany, of course, obviously also controlled by the Soviets. Hungary, also controlled by the Soviets. Mongolia, also controlled by the Soviets. Poland, also controlled by the Soviets. And Romania, also controlled by the Soviets. So basically, the Soviet Union and their puppet states, and then China and North Korea, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the South Korean War is South Korea. The United Nations sent in troops, which is weird. United States, and then UK, Canada, Turkey, Australia, Philippines, New Zealand, Thailand, Ethiopia, Greece, France, Colombia, Belgium, South Africa, Netherlands, Luxembourg. That's the combat support. Then medical support is Italy, West Germany, India, Norway, Sweden, Denmark. Other support, Israel, Taiwan, Japan, Pakistan, Cuba, El Salvador, and Spain.
Holy crap.
Spain wasn't even involved in World War II.
Yeah.
They had their own civil war at the time, so...
Dude, check this out. I don't know if you read this.
And that was to stop the spread of communism. That's how important that was. And then of course, you've got the divide. But
I just don't understand.
And that's the thing is that's how important it is to stop the spread of
communism.
Bad. No, I'm just saying opposite influence.
I know, but look at us, man. I just, like, what are we under right now? Democrats want freaking communism or socialism or whatever the heck they want. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me to see that and then see them be like, well,
yeah, it's crazy to go
from someone else's
communism. Truman 70 years ago coming up with the Truman Doctrine not to allow communism to spread, right? And now you've got the Democratic Party spreading communism.
And then it's Canada right now, this like totalitarian-esque thing happening at truckers. You know,
straight up authoritarianism.
This came from Reuters, dude, 4 hours ago. Britain said on Thursday the most dangerous moment in the West's standoff with Moscow appeared imminent as Russia held military exercises in Belarus and the Black Sea following the buildup of its forces near Ukraine. Okay, so here's what happened, dude. Literally, the U.S. Apparently says do not travel to Ukraine due to increased threats of Russian military action and COVID-19. Those in Ukraine should depart now via commercial or private means.
The State Department issued that warning a few weeks ago.
What the heck?
And what's hilarious about that warning...
A few weeks ago?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, yeah.
That makes sense.
And the hilarious thing about that warning is they say, due to Russian aggression and COVID-19.
Yeah, they have to add and COVID-19.
They snuck that in there. Like, yeah. That's why people are leaving and starving and dying. Yeah.
So Germany urges de-escalation. Pentagon speaks to Belarus. State Department tells Americans in Ukraine to leave. That's crazy, man. So we're here. Like, it seems like we're heating up.
Oh, definitely. It's been heating up.
It's been heating up. But I'm saying, we need to, I want to... Yeah, this seems like the point, you know? Wow. Holy crap. Okay, well, anyway, dude. We've been going for a little over an hour now, brother Bear. So... I guess that's it, man, you know? And to all the listeners that made it this far, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you're listening for the first time, this is the Toasty Podcast. My name's Sky.
And I'm Matty B.
And, you know, we love you guys. And, you know, I just want you to press subscribe or press follow and help us out. Also, you can leave us a review on any podcast platform. Of course, that also helps us out. And you might win a t-shirt. I don't know. We need reviews, so I need to make that happen. Other than that, you can follow us on any social media, on Twitter, I am the real Sky Day, and Matt is Toasty Matty B. We're not really on there all that much, I'll be honest.
Because we have lives.
Because we have lives, and I just, dude, I don't. It's social media is toxic,
it's a
dude.
It's hellscape, man. It's toxic. Yeah, and like, there's social no, media there's in like no winning. I feel like there's just no winning. It's
oh
just,
no, that's very true. You're right about fighting, that, man. Fighting over Twitter, dude. I'll just post some stuff and then let it go. And same with Facebook. Facebook's probably the better place to follow me because I'm probably more genuine on Facebook, to be honest. Twitter, it's all fake. I just treat it like it's fake because it is. So anyway, guys, that's it for today and this week. And stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Life's not fair and I'm here for that. See when I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just an act for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs, and I go hard like smash and grab, it's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is trap. You notice how I switch a flow for y'all? Just to see y'all clap. Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah.
Toasty.